Amendments to the agenda. Wonderful. Anyone? Good news. Approval of the minutes of December 10th. Long time ago.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of December 10th as written.
Second. I second that. Amendment or any changes? Let me see. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? 5 minutes for public comment. John.
My question is for Michael Doran Jr. Whereas he made a motion to sell property at 1618 River Street, has he seen the four checks the county to purchase those properties, or is he making motions based off personal feelings?
No comment.
I figured as much. Have you read Mr. Kirby's deposition?
No comment.
Okay. Because I will be taking your deposition at some point in the coming future, and it would be very imperative for you to find that answer out, Mr. Dollar, respectfully.
You show up on my property, I will call the cops.
I never had any intention to. Thank you
Just
for
a
your friend,
warning.
though.
I know that a while ago we hired a rec director for, I believe it was $48,000, if I'm not mistaken. Has the rec director used upstairs at all for any community activities for the citizens of Fairhaven?
I'm not aware of that. I don't know. Probably not, but I don't know that. Has it? Joe, is there a way to that?
Thank you for your comment.
Are there any activities planned upstairs for the rec director that we hired for 48,000 to utilize the community center upstairs?
Probably in the future, but I don't know right now. So that's all I know.
Is the upstairs ready for community events for the activities director to use?
I don't know that yet either. They were still waiting for heat. I do know that.
Was there money, though, I believe, 250,000 from Peter Welch, that the town asked Mr.
That
Welch?
was incorporated in the original project.
The original project was as defined as what, please?
The original project. Everything that involved the elevator, all the renovations we've done, the new heat, all the stuff we've done to this
You
property
just said
owner.
new heat. So there is a new boiler.
Down here, we're going to do a different type of heating upstairs.
But wasn't that incorporated in the monies that were designated for the community care
I
center?
don't have a breakdown of
The
exactly how the
community
money was
block grant?
spent. If you would like that, at some point that can be. But actually, it's in the public record. You can look it up.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's kind of an unusual request. I've never really heard of this before. I was one of these guys that had extension on my tax to get the rebates in, the taxes back, and I got the most I've ever gotten. And I just assumed that at that point in time when it was received here, it would be pay off the 2 quarters, the first 2 quarters. And I owed for, which was more than enough to do that. It wasn't. It was distributed equally over all 4 quarters, which in effect made me behind with penalties on the first and second quarter.
I'm not sure how that works, to be honest with you. Maybe that's the way it has to go, but do you know, Joe, how that
Yes,
works?
it's distributed over all 4 quarters. This is a conversation we've had several times.
Well, what is it? Wait a minute. Think about the unfairness of that. That would be like if you had a contract for 10 months, I mean 12 months, you pay so much every month and you're behind, get behind. I'll guarantee you, in the real world, the thing you're told, isn't it? Private enterprise would turn around and when you set your payments in, they would pay off the first and second quarters or third. That's all I'm asking.
I don't know. I don't. It may be state law that it comes.
Well, I've checked with the Secretary of State, etc., and they say it's up to the town itself how they allocate that money.
Okay.
So all I'm asking, as a matter of fact, I'd be more than happy to give you all of it, which would cover almost the first three quarters. So I'm willing to pay you guys in advance. Now, that's a pretty good deal. But I would also request at the point when you receive that money, okay, for the penalties up until that point, but the penalties be waived because of, it was allocated for different ways.
Yeah. That's the Board of Civil Authority that has to do that.
It's Board not, of Civil Authority?
Yeah, it's not us. It's not us.
All right.
To do the those adjustments. That much I do know.
Well, okay. I need a approach to Board of Civil Authority.
Yeah.
All right.
Talk to Danny and she's...
We'll keep working on it.
She'll want something written down on the phone. Open there.
Well, the irony of this whole thing, at one time, the refund used to go to the person that received it.
Yeah.
And then they turned around and put it back in. That was wrong. That's wrong with in effect. That's my refund. You people had nothing to do with me getting the refund because I guess there was a huge surplus, whatever, and they allocated it back. But
that's the state.
This is right.
That is the state. That much I do know. They made that decision.
Yeah, you're right. I followed up on that with him right now. I'm just saying, I'm more than happy to give you all of it right up front. And that would might even take care of the third quarter. But, at least you told me where to go.
I've always wanted to tell you where to go.
Well, you did this time. This time you were around, I can't know. I've been chasing rainbows on this one, let me tell you. That's all things happen in life.
Better make it right.
Yep.
Anyone else, sir?
Again, Kevin Holley from Bennington. I ran for Vermont State Governor. I was here last week, or by the right? Last time we talked about some of your criminal police officers, namely Tom Covino, someone who's been impersonating a police officer for the last 21 years. And we touched base a little bit on Bill Humphreys. But I'd like to talk today about Officer Kerber. And specifically, I'm just wondering out of curiosity, is that the same Kerber family that turned the Rutland Herald, brought the occult church to Fairhaven? Is that the same family? Do you guys know that?
That's your...
I'm just asking. It's per the Rutland Herald, not me, but... I wonder, is that the same family?
I'd be surprised if they called it an occult church.
Well, that's what they call it. But again, I gave Mr. Kerber numerous capital crimes that implicated, again, not only William Humphreys here, but some bigger agents. Again, just some of the things we talked about over the next town over. We discovered what the FBI calls a pedophile symbol in some of their student art. As soon as we disclosed that on my news network, within a month, the ex-dean of Castleton was murdered. Right now, again, over in Paulet, Vermont.
What has this got to do with
that? Well, because over in Paulet, Vermont, when we started talking about Robin Chestnut Tangerman or Merrill Knapp or the officers, we have the Crossman family murdered, right? And the connection, we're making all these connections through the judges and the prosecutors and law enforcement. So, again, I've reported capital crimes to Officer Kerber. He has that both on his body cam and in his patrol car vehicle. I want to make sure that he passed that on. In that conversation, I told Mr. Kerber, I advised him, I would report it to the Vermont State Police Bureau of Criminal Justice, right, the Major Crimes Unit, specifically Captain Scott Dunlop, and then the other one would be the FBI. I believe the Vermont FBI has been compromised up in Burlington, so I recommended the Albany, New York field office. I'll repeat, I'm a reporting party for a multi-state federal RICO investigation. These are major crimes. Your town's involved. The police is the municipality. I'm giving you a heads up to brace for impact. Hopefully you're going to do the right thing instead of cover it up like normal you're going to get rid of the dead weight. So, Mr. Gunther, could you please follow up with Mr. Kerber? Again, you've got two different video sources. I've got my own as a third. Make sure that happened. Or make sure the FBI and the proper authorities are aware of the crimes going on in your little town. You guys do. You're the select board, right? It should matter. Any questions at all from you guys, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate you.
Anyone else?
Nathan Hagen. At Christmas Eve lunch, talking with my grandmother, which she's worked at Dunvin's Pharmacy for 20 years. She's worked at Shaw's Grand Union Tops for 35 plus years. She's nearly 85 years old, or if not 85. And I brought up how a town meeting I watched on PEG TV last winter, that the chair said they're looking to save money for the town, and they're buying the cheapest crosswalk paint. And my grandmother says, that's not right. And for her, as quiet and humble she is, for her to say that meant a lot to me. So I don't think public safety is a place you should be cheaping out on crosswalk paint. And also, I've watched numerous town meetings on PEG TV, and there's a lot of people, business owners, people that walk that crosswalk from the corner to the bus stop, complain about that one parking spot. And nothing's done about it. I think that's not right. There's public safety for a town should be a number one. And there should be a concrete road barrier brick put there immediately. For whatever said reason, it hasn't been done. I don't understand why. A lot of people complain about that one spot. And one more thing to add, that we have 25 mile an hour speed limit signs near each one of our schools in town. We have 25 mile an hour speed limit sign on top of Edmund Pond Road at Lindsay Waterhouses. Why can't we have 25 mile an hour speed limit throughout the town of Fairhaven? It's like we only care about the kids near the schools. Well, there's sadly kids walk down Carnarvon 24/7, 7 days a week. The town needs 25 mile an hour speed limit. That's so if somebody does do 35 and they get a ticket, it goes back to 25 and the ticket's a lot more. Just some thoughts. That's about it. Thanks.
Okay, we'll move on.
I'll shut this up. Sorry about that. Department head reports.
You win.
I guess I do.
What a prize.
All right. I'll start with just a little bit of information coming to the select board. The equalization study came out, so I made a copy and I'm going to talk about it. This is kind of a good point now because we're reading the reappraisal, which I need to release. I haven't done that. But we are, even based on these numbers, the COD is at 23%. The state requires a reappraisal at 20%. So,
and the other one, the CLA is under 80. Is that what? So that we're due there too. Both ways we win.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a little way of putting it. And,
Doing
that on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was second place? We got a really nice letter from a young lady who received a speeding ticket on 22A.
I read it.
You guys got,
Yeah. And I can concur that the
So this young lady got a speeding ticket out on 22A, and I wish I could find the gentleman's name who gave him the ticket. But she wrote in to say just thank you. He was so kind to help her understand how to pay the ticket, where to go, and what to do. She thanked him and then sent a letter to saying, you know, your officers are great. So just to let people know, great. Nothing like what we heard tonight.
Was it cheap because it was highlighted? Honor?
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, you think it was the chief?
I
read it, but now I forget who it was. So I'm sure it was how pretty good correct.
I think the man. Yes, right?
Okay. This chief of officer was kind of didn't say who it was.
There you go.
Looks like it went to White River Junction. You might have just skipped T. Bunkridge because it's
right.
Good question.
Comment. I received the police report, so it's side news all the time. And I do want to mention I appreciate what the town of Fairhaven is doing for Route 22A. It's seriously needed, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A quick update from the police department. We had 71 traffic or municipal violations, 15 written warnings, there was one parking violation, and 3 crashes. We did 0 overweight permits, and we did 2 sets of civilian fingerprints for employment.
Just two.
All total last year in 2024, we did 260 fingerprints. From my office. I'd like to start, if it's okay, to thank Public Works, a couple of departments this time around. Public Works, they came in and they helped clean out the second floor. There were some heavy partitions that needed to be moved, and I couldn't do it myself. They came in, brought the dump truck, threw the junk right out the window. So they did a great job there. They did it last week. I appreciate them for that. Terry, our new accountant, is doing a wonderful job. She's brought all of our checkbooks up to date. So she's doing an excellent job. I'd like to thank her. And then Mike LeDuc filled in for me the other day. I overscheduled a meeting on top of my doctor's appointment. So Mike stepped in and helped me out. So I appreciate Mike LeDuc for doing that.
You go to the doctor's appointment?
Yes, he did. It was that yearly exam he had, he did. Okay, so the bids for the water line, really from my office now, the bids from the water line upgrade went out as scheduled. We got a pre-bid meeting last week, is what Mike filled in for. The bids are due on January 22nd. We'll open those, and then we'll review for completeness, and then we'll bring those to the board.
Is that the upgrade on the South of Main Street? Okay, thank you.
On Main Street,
right? Yes, it's Main Street and a spot up here on the spot. The boxes, so the room that was full of boxes and junk, all of the boxes have been completely reviewed. Most have been recycled. I reboxed some things, and some things need to be stored securely, and other things need to be shredded. So that project is done. I think we're just waiting for heat, which we'll get to soon.
Can I ask you a question? Like the shredding, you bring somebody in to shred. How do they do it? Do they do it as a like a per hour or per pound? Or
I was going to call the people that do the, so I've never shredded here, but what I found is that they do it by the box.
Mm. So what I was wondering is, would it be possible to do a public, you know, offer that service as long as the truck's going to be here? Oh. Let people in town know that there's
the shredders coming.
The shredders coming, and I mean, you got to check with those guys, make sure that they get paid well or paid as they should. But I mean, it's here, and there's always something, you know, just ask.
In my experience, they have to know how much
volume. The volume, yeah, right. I don't
just make sure they have enough.
Yeah,
awesome. You have to advertise it a couple times. I'm sorry.
No, no.
Because I'm going to save it up.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, it might be more cumbersome than it's worth, but it's worth asking.
No, I could ask you about the objective.
I'm sure how else we get around.
Oh, signboard arrived. So the big box out in the hallway. That's the new signboard that the EDC. Yep, that the EDC was looking for. I'm gonna move that out of the hallway. That's not a permanent home, but it's there for now.
I thought it was modern art.
Provide a junk ordinance. So the EDC wanted to look at our junk ordinance. That's with VLCT for review right now to make sure it's kosher with state law. The auditors are in again on the 9th and 10th. That process is going. It's taking a little while, but it's going smoothly. Barry's doing a good job as the go-between for them and us. I'm going to a housing and funding conference on the 15th up in St. Aubyn. I'm leaving here on the 14th, stay the night, and then go on the 15th. So I'll be back. I'll be back on
a conference.
Yes, I'll be back on the 15th of the evening of the 15th. That one, Nate, and that. So I did get the initial estimate for the heat for this, for the second heat and air conditioning for the second floor and the first floor. At this point, I'm going to take those. I'm going to take the numbers he provided and then make a RFP for it. So this many condensers, this many heads, this much electrical work. I'm gonna make an RFP and release it to just out to the public and see what kind of numbers we get back. So we're looking sometime late winter, early fall, early spring. And one last, yeah, this is the last thing I promised. January 16th, that's the last day for petitions. I'd like to set a meeting for the Board of Selectmen that day so that way you guys can approve the warrant.
What time are you looking to have that happen?
It's 5. Can we do early?
No problem. How about the working folks here?
Should be fine. Okay? Yeah, 5 should be.
That's all right.
I'll check. Should be.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. It's just
anything I can call it.
Okay, and I'll do that. Okay, gentlemen, that's all I have.
Questions for the PM?
Yep.
All right. RFP discussion, old business. Very sure.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I resigned as president, but I'm still here.
That'll teach you. You never can get out.
So just as a refresher, I think it was maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, we decided to try to look and see how we can raise just a little bit of revenue to offset some of our costs. The park fee discussion came about because the town does have to have staff go in and clean up, take garbage, take it to the transfer station after every event, not just like after that shrink them. So the idea is to offset some of that cost to pay for a couple of employees to come and do that.
Just out of curiosity, do we have some basis? You have any idea what amount of time, hours, cost in general?
Yeah, so I was estimating about 300 as a round number, and that's, I was using Nate and then one other employee for just 2 or 3 hours on the weekend. So that includes overtime. That doesn't include their benefits, but at least it pays their hourly wage.
Is there any way that we could require the chamber, or is there any way we could require them to do the pickup so that our people wouldn't have to, the town people, town DPW wouldn't have to.
In the old days, we used to be able to get Spalding.
Yeah.
And that was that solved the problem. But that's not necessarily the case.
I was just thinking whoever was having the event would have to sign a contract that just said we will be responsible for cleanup.
But basically dumping the trash cans. It's cleaned up because it's all in the trash can.
Yeah.
And so basically just because we do make sure that everybody picked up all of their leftovers.
The good thing about having the town guys do that, it's not good for them, but it gets done. You know, you're not casting anybody. You know, you bring everything to the garbage pails. They're overflowing. Animals get in it, that kind of thing like that. Our guys get in it, they dump it, they take it, it's gone, and they can get into the dump on an off day, the transfer station.
But I can tell you, the Vermont Farmers Market, like I've participated in Barrington and Rutland, it's part of the rules for those participating in the market for vendors that you have to remove your own garbage. Like they're like when they use Depot Park in Rutland, they do not leave any garbage behind. And they didn't ever leave any garbage behind in Fairhaven either. And they won't be back. There's no plan for them to come back to Fairhaven this coming year. But like when we had the Fairhaven Street Market for 2 years, we removed all of our garbage. We never left anything. So, you know. But I mean, the Spring Fling and Apple Festival. Big events.
Well, there's a lot of people.
It accumulates
and it's
a lot of customers.
And it's one thing. I mean, there's truth of the matter, I would imagine there's a little police activity as well that has to be covered. But you know, we love having people in the park. Absolutely love it. And the vendors down there and the people that have stick and mortar places love it. Having the people in the park come down, but we need it. It's incumbent on us to make sure we're covering our costs, and that's where this discussion started. And I don't know where we are. If anybody has any solutions or suggestions, please spit them out. Yes.
Sorry to jump in. I thought originally the idea that was floated was maybe $5 a table. It might be easier just to set a flat fee and then let, not to pick on the chamber, but just use that as an example. Now they get 100 vendors, they can distribute that $100 fee across all vendors, or $200 fee. It seems like it'd be hard to do a per table. Be as opposed to just something flat. It's like, here you go, that's your money.
I think if we were organizing an event, we could set a table cost.
Sure. Yeah.
But parties coming in and hosting an event, and we're on, you know, we have to put in some extra overtime for that. I think that's more.
Yeah. It seems easy.
Yeah.
Just a question, because I know we talk a lot about the chamber and the car show, but we do multiple events. My initial sense is saying I agree with the fact that it shouldn't be just the car show.
Mm.
It should be vendors that are there. Now, if you got a nonprofit like when Apple Fest and the school has that spoke, I don't expect to charge them by table. But there's something going on every other spoke. It should be Lumberjack, Apple Fest, everything else. If you're going to do a table thing, my sense of fairness is saying, don't pick on just car show and chamber. And it's not just garbage. I'd like to think what you're trying to offset the cost of some of when the branches come down the trees, you're picking up leaves, you're bowing. It's that whole trying to keep the park looking really good, which they do pretty good job.
That is correct. It's just want to say one thing. It's everything. I mean, we're going to have light maintenance down the road.
painting, light bulbs, main the general majors. We got the fountain, we got the mowing, we got the tree limbs, we got trees. We do have garbage, that's what most people see, but that's probably a very small part of it overall. So is this a service that we're going to divide, you know, provide free? Are we going to split it up? We're going to disperse this, help recoup some of our costs?
And I thought
we got a thing to sell.
We met, I think, with the chamber months ago, and we talked about some general things, and we're both going to go back and talk to folks and come back. Carrie, is there any new?
Well, there's a couple of things.
Okay.
I mean, basically, Sharon just typed up a quick list of the things that we do to get ready for spring cleaning. I'm not going to read everything. I mean, you pretty much know what it is. It's mailing out the registration forms, process them, they come back, us marking out the spaces and everything else. Basically, we have about 22 hours of volunteer labor to get ready for spring cleaning and be done with it. Last year, we took in $1,025 is what we took in for spring cleaning. Our costs, advertising, postage, mailing things out, porta-potties, envelopes, postage, came to $781. So we made $234 out of that. So basically, the only thing that I do want to just bring into this is, some of you probably remember this, but some of you don't. But the chamber built the gazebo. And I think we're getting the short end of the stick. You use the gazebo 8 times a year for the concerts, whatever. We built that and gave it to the town. We think using the park for 8 hours a year is not a very fair and equitable. No. So basically, where are the lines set up? We will mail you the mailing list. We're all done. We can't pass anything. No. We've got retired people that they pay $35 for a site to sell a couple jars of jams, right, and pickles, and if they make $35, it's a big deal, big deal. So we're just not.
What do they do when they go to other places? So like, do they pay that?
No, sorry. So can
hold
I?
Hold on.
I've been involved in farmers markets. I ran another market, so I have some of that. Do you mind? So when we had the Fairhaven Street Market, we charged a $5 table fee. We had on our best weeks, we ran it for 2 summers. We did about 3 weeks per summer. We had on our best week, we had 24 vendors, which was quite a lot for Fairhaven. Our average was 12 to 15 certain weeks where there was big events going on somewhere else. Maybe we only had 8 or 9 vendors, something like that. But anyway, we had several people who tried it for a week or two, who were especially crafters, who maybe they only made $20, $40, but it was worth it to them to try again. The vendors that do the best are people who are selling food, things that people really need, okay? So me and Art, my husband, we were lucky enough that typically in Fairhaven, we'd make $100, $200. For us, the idea of putting in $5 was no big deal. But for someone who only made $20, the hours they put in making their stuff, hauling it there, setting up and all that, they dropped out, right? And so I just wanted to point out that with the Vermont Farmers Market, okay, like I heard this number was being thrown around that some places, some towns are charging $50 for a space.
They are.
Okay, the Vermont Farmers Market. Well, so seeing your comment, I contacted the president of the Vermont Farmers Market, Paul Horton, and I asked him, so for the summer in Rutland, what do you charge? I'm sorry, I know what they charge. The vendors pay, if you want to be the participate for the whole season, 26 weeks in the summer in Depot Park, it's around, I think it's $550 now for a space for the season. There are
in Depot Park, there's two different organizations that run that farmers market. It's the Vermont Farmers Market and the Rutland County Market. Together, they have a total of around 100 vendors. The two markets together pay to the town of Rutland around $300 a month, or sorry, for the whole season. $300 for the whole season for 100 vendors to use the park for 26 weeks. So I'm thinking, when you see that the big events that we have, Spring Fling and Apple Fest, they've been getting smaller. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so smaller. Year on year, they are getting smaller.
Certainly isn't because of Part B.
No, it's not. I think there's a problem that there's
want to volunteer.
No, but there's a few things. Like, I think a lot of people in Fairhaven, they go to other towns for activities because they expect big stuff to be happening in other towns. They don't expect a lot from Fairhaven, unfortunately. I think that's true. And anyway, I'm just saying that when you look at towns like Manchester or Middlebury, they can afford to charge a lot because you'll have 50, 100 vendors. You have lots of people with lots of money going there and shopping. You don't have that in Fairhaven. So I'm just suggesting to you that when we were running a market in Fairhaven on Fridays, my husband and I could make $100 or $200. We'd go the very next day to Rutland and make far more. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you have to think about, it's a simple economic value. You want to encourage something, you support it, subsidize it, and promote it. You want to see less of something, you tax it, you charge fees. And I'm just saying, if you want to have events in Fairhaven, I don't think charging more money.
So the taxpayers of Fairhaven should subsidize you so you can.
I think the taxpayers of Fairhaven want to have something to go to in their own town.
I agree.
I'm not involved in the markets anymore.
We're trying to cover costs here. And
but every
I'm not sure what the best way to do that is. And I don't know if I like the flat fee or not.
High school, and maybe the Greenwich School, if I know the high school, has a community service component. I don't know if you know that. They volunteer, they do things. Mm-hmm. Well, why not use them?
Cleaner.
Have you ever thought of tapping into that?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
My son-in-law is a principal there. I know he's in charge of all that stuff pretty much.
I have a question, Gary, for you, because we can have all kinds of discussion, but if the chamber has decided we're tired, we're not going to do this, it isn't going to matter because we still need to do the events and things. Someone's still got to set up the thing and do all the work you talked about. If the chamber's saying I'm upset picking up my marbles and going home. That's not what I heard. What I heard is none of us are getting any younger. I hear that from the Legion. as well. So I get it. And we don't have the volunteers and the people coming along. We'd probably be back here having another discussion about how to get there. If the message you're here to give us is, may want to be planning next year, figure out, we'll get you the list, we'll try to help the transition.
That's pretty much the feeling that we have gotten the last several years that the town would like to take it over. Matter of fact, we were asked for the mailing or for the vendors list or something. And, Sharon barked at that. She said, no, this is ours and whatever. Well, the last several meetings that we've had in discussing it, I'm the number one opponent to saying keep it. Pass it along. Maybe you guys can figure out a way to do it. Plus, more vendors at a better cost or something. But as I say, when we got all done, we made $234 out of it.
Right.
I mean, and as far as I'm concerned,
it's not worth it.
I want my own lawn to make more money than that.
Well, that's the first I've heard of us wanting to take it over, but I haven't ever heard that either. But
You understand where we're coming from.
Right. But, you know, you've got a couple of trash cans worth of trash that, you know, we would gladly show them on a pickup if somebody just let us in the gate to dump them out. If that's what this $300 is going to cost, what's more free labor on our part? But it's just one of those things that, you know, I think about the gazebo. I thought about that. That's why I stopped a picture of that yesterday. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, that was the chamber giving that to the town to use.
And with that said, the fact that the you know, the concerts, they leave their garbage after every concert,
right? Right. And that's one thing that we brought up, and you said that you subsidize that, so the concerts. So that's kind of,
well, that's a wholly owned town operation.
But one more fully owned operation.
Basically, it's the same thing. I mean, this is just an idea throughout. It's not etched in stone.
Exactly.
Right, but, yeah,
we need to work together somehow, some way, to figure out how to not have as many high taxes in town as we have.
Right.
This was
I don't have all the answers.
I'm not apologizing for trying to find a way to lower the taxes in the town.
No kind of hanging on it or whatever. Just to, you know, just kind of look at the whole program. You know, we try to do something to bring some people in the town, and maybe they'll buy some coffee and a sandwich while they're here or whatever. And
that's where it's all at.
So
that's the most important part.
Right. You know, to bring people in the town.
Providing stuff for people in the town to do in their own
town. Right. Yeah. So, which, you know, which brings up the car show. I mean, what's the plan on the car show? Because if we're going to, you know, if there's going to be some of this trickle down toward the car show, then I'm not going to fly. I'm going to call Castle College tomorrow and try to get a parking lot. So that's kind of one of the things I want to get a feeling. I mean, I'm not trying to say I'm going to pull that over your head, but.
You know, well, you are.
I just don't want to get blindsided myself come the last Saturday in July and say, oh my God, we've got to turn around and take money that we normally give at the end of the year to the food banks and whatnot. I mean, because that's what we do with the money we make, and just pass it along to different charity type things.
Well, then you also make the Fairhaven guy.
We're trying to save property. We're trying to help
people with their property taxes by covering our costs.
I understand
that's the whole discussion. I think before we're starting to repeat ourselves here, so let's. When do you need to know about spring fling first, right? Are you guys doing spring fling or are you not?
It all depends, I guess, if the how we were making up here. You know, if the fee was going to be something that obviously, if the fee is anything that eats up more than $234, then
let me ask you a question. Why wouldn't you charge the vendors that are there?
The most vendors we charge $50 for, because they get usually they take up two lots, the 2 10-foot spaces. So they take.
Well, there's more than that. There's so, vendors, though. Right. I don't want to split hairs here, but it seems like
hairs and cut and sweet. The only food vendors we had.
Yeah, last year just a couple.
Yeah, that's all we had, and they each paid $50 for their lots, and everything else was $35. Because that's the early registration is $35, $40 if they are, and they all really look early. So that's what we charge. But there again, I mean, it's not like just commercial people there that are coming and bringing a lot of stuff to try to sell, whatever.
And 35 is what the Vermont Farmers Market charges for someone who just pays their annual membership. If they want to participate as a day vendor, they charge 35.
Mm-hmm.
And you will make a lot more money in Rutland at the Farmers Market on a Saturday than you will at Spring Fling in Fairhaven, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the question really comes down to me. Right now we have events that happen and the chamber takes care of contacting vendor spaces and all that and does everything. It sounds like if we want to charge more money. Question for me is, what's it going to cost us if we do everything they do to get ready? For me, I feel better knowing I'm going to get $500 more if I charge more for the vending. But if it's going to cost me $1,000 to do it ourselves here.
I calculated 22 hours. I mean, that's three of us folding and stuffing envelopes to the printing everything, me going over there, another gentleman on Friday night, marking, measuring out the spaces. I get here between 5:30 and 6 because some of the vendors come early, and I stay until another guy comes in, and we stay until like noontime to get everybody settled in, and then Greg usually comes over from the mansion and make sure everything is picked up from noon to 3 o'clock. He keeps track of that. Because once the parade is done, it becomes a ghost town pretty quick after that.
I mean,
something else I'm hearing too is, like you brought up, you can make more money in Rutland than you can here in Fairhaven. There's not much going on in Fairhaven. So how do we, as a board or town, promote that more to get more events?
Help them get more vendors in.
Right. How do we
make them collect more money? And
right.
We'll have more garbage and we'll have more food covered.
And
we're going in the wrong direction.
If you grow it, then you can charge those fees.
It brings people into town and they look at Fairhaven and say, what a great little town. It's an awesome place to hang out. Spend time with people.
One second that we hear the same argument if it's a booming operation, you know, like the car show. Car show is a boomer. It's loaded.
Right.
And there's a couple thousand people floating through town. Yeah. And I'm sure there's probably a couple thousand people going through the
But I'm sure that couple thousand people, I just to say one thing. Say 2,000 people, there's going to be some extra money going through the cash register at the downtown businesses on that day. There's no question. It's got to happen. So do we just chalk this up as a public good and move on?
Well, that was going to be my question. If we don't want to change the fee structure we have now, which is nothing and we pay for it, or do we want to have a fee structure? That's probably the question. And if we then we don't have to have this discussion. No. So, What's your pleasure, folks?
From everything I can take, from everything I've heard, I'm saying don't rock the boat. This is, it was a great idea. We looked at it, but I'm saying, quite frankly, I don't want the responsibility of trying to find somebody to do what the chamber and their volunteers are nice enough to do. And it kind of goes against what we all want to work together for this one right here, and it doesn't feel real good.
Rich, and we have the chamber has the spring swing and the car show.
Yep.
And there's nothing else.
That's only two events we do. Yeah.
Okay. The Lumberjack Show is separate.
Different organization.
Different. And then we have the Apple Fest, which is the school. And that's going to have to be free anyway.
Having a comment.
I say move on.
Yeah,
I'm going to make a comment.
All right.
Anybody's getting a phone or whatever.
Discussion.
We're having a series of meetings coming up on a consumption tax. I urge you to attend it. And what's interesting, USA Today.
No, we got to move on.
I'm just asking you guys to come. We're going to have a series of meetings.
But it's
USA Today says that the feds are looking at a national consumption tax. It's the first time I've ever heard it. It's the big stuff, guys. And there's a ton of money out there on the hill. A ton. I know.
It's kind of off the subject.
I know. You've been going around. I heard every.
All right. So the consensus.
What do you do for your tax base?
You've got to don't change it. Don't change it.
Yeah.
Don't change it.
Consensus of the board is we're not going to change it. Okay.
You can go back. Don't change it. Thank you.
What
you
do? Help us out.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in.
Promise we won't have this discussion next spring.
Hey, I'm already. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Have a good night.
LHMP, Hazard Mitigation.
Yes. So the Rutland Regional is helping us update our local hazard mitigation plan. And we've finished phase one last time, maybe two meetings ago. We released the website was open for comment. We received no comments. And those no comments were incorporated into the draft. So, what Rutland Regional now wants, they'd like the board to acknowledge phase one is complete and then approve moving on to phase two.
You need a motion?
Motion?
Yeah, they'd like a motion for that.
Okay. And let's see here. I'd like to make a motion to acknowledge that phase one of the local hazard mitigation planning has been complete and authorized moving forward towards adoption of the plan.
Of moving into phase two of the plan.
Phase two of the plan.
Second.
Everybody understand what we're doing? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
And we don't have anything for the Skyline project at this point, or do we?
There's nothing to do tonight. But so there was movement to just scuttle the project. From what I heard today, it's been resurrected. We've been in contact with the property owner, and we're working with the state and the owner right now.
Okay. More to follow.
More to follow. Nothing there yet. We're getting.
Well,
I'm trying.
Well, I know where the sticking point is, but another. Make everybody happy.
You're working with the property owner and the state to sell the building.
To do a study on the building. To do a study. This moment, at this moment.
Water ordinance review.
You're welcome for this.
So there was. I'll
get yours.
Running out of time.
On page 25 and 26 of this, of the water water ordinance, there was some language requiring the town to replace the private water lines. I mean, we requested that that be removed. I did remove that. I did remove that.
So we, do we have to go through all the whole process of warning and everything?
Nope. So once you, if you approve this tonight, then I just put it out in the newspaper for, and then there's, I think, 60 days to for somebody to petition it.
Do you have an appropriate?
Make a motion. You're going to need a motion?
Yep.
I'll make a motion that we take and modify the water ordinance on page 25 that deals with emergency repairs to private service lines between curb stop and structures. A, and delete the part of that that said, or if the property owner prefers to allow, delete that language to read now. The town will repair the line at the current service line repair.
Yep. No, we want to eliminate it altogether.
Yeah, that's going to be completely removed.
Yeah.
So it's going in. So let me come back and say then the motion is to on A, it's going to read in cases of emergency repair, the property owner's service line on the owner's side of the curb stop, the owner will be given 24 hours to contract with repair facilities to repair the line, period. Correct. That means the town's not in the repair private line business anymore.
That's correct.
That's just so it is. So that's my motion. I made confusion.
You got that? You got that, Claire?
I do, as a matter of fact.
Is there a second, Pat?
What about 26? What about page 26?
Not that I'm based for this.
No, yeah, there was no change.
Okay, so there's a second.
So it's not delete. It's you want me to write that whole thing in the minutes?
It's actually just striking the last.
Striking everything at the repair facility to repair the line, put a period, and striking everything else in that paragraph.
Gotcha.
Well, let's talk about now. There's a second here.
Yep. How do other towns go about
they
this?
They don't. I'm not going to mention other names, but. That's hired out.
So I think about some projects that I've done where it's been nearly impossible to get contractors out in any sort of timely fashion. How many and how often does this happen? I know we have one in recent vintage, but
it doesn't happen often, but at what we were charging, we were losing money. And then that puts the liability on us to repair that furthermore, and that should not be our responsibility. Our responsibility ends at the curb stop.
Well, the question that I have related to what you have is, if we're all talking about the trailer park, and if that water kept running, how does that, where do
we just shut it off at the curb?
You just shut it off, yeah. And that's the end of it.
That's the end until they're repair. Until they're repair. Okay.
I'm good with that. I just want to make sure that we're covered.
And I'm sure, I don't know, that if we get that, not to add any more work, but maybe we can put it out there for some local contractors to kind of give homeowners, hey, these are some of the local contractors in town or in the area that can do this kind of work.
See, and I'm okay with that. I'm just... The reason I read the first thing I did to say, if we had a case where it was, you're talking specifically this remote home, let's take it happen anywhere. Mm-hmm. I got a home with an apartment, multiple with housing, multiple apartments. I've got sick people in there, elderly people, and there's a break in the line. And nobody is stepping, and we turn the water off. Oh, yes. And we become into a health issue. Wouldn't you want something after that period that said, if not, the town will repair the line at the current service line repair rate? Or do we say, not our problem. Go find temporary housing. Because that's what you really, that's what you're talking with my motion. The other way, I think the reason the language got there, I just guess, I don't know how wide we got, had the language that said the town's going to repair it anyway. There's probably somewhere in the past someone had a break and the town repaired it. It's why it's in there.
Without a doubt.
And so the discussion that I just want to make sure you're aware of what you're voting for here. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, hey, you think there's never going to be a case that either.
Yeah.
The contractor that you can't get, or even I come back to the one at Green Mountain Mobile Manor when you come back and get told turn the water back on.
No, we're going to sue for that.
There's some emergency. Right. You've got to shut the water off.
Understood. I'm just.
This is directed at people that are on the up and up, the ones that are going to wait for us to come fix it.
They want us to
fix it. So I think, like, let's say it's, I need to use myself as an example. Let's say my line breaks before the curb. I want to repair it. I call multiple contractors. No one's available.
6 months.
I'm without water. It won't be 6 months. Okay. I'm without water until then. You know, where do we want to be in the helping business? But also, to your point, what's our liability on that line after we repair it?
Most municipalities in the state, it's your responsibility ends at the curb stop. Curb stop to house is homeowner responsibility. So, and I get it, to your point, getting a contractor, but I think most contractors, there are one that we use quite frequently that pretty much drop almost everything or schedule them the next day to come out and fix it because they know how important it is. And I can give that contractor to Joe at some point and we can.
The water ordinance clearly states we're only responsible to curb stop.
Right. So
in our policy, we have a section called emergency repairs for private lawns that probably got put in there to deal with the, I want to make an exception to not only being responsible to the curb stop. I'm looking at what we took out of there and I'm saying, oh.
Right, because God forbid they fix it and it breaks again within a few days and you're back there again. If that's what it says, that you know, curb stop.
Earlier in the policy, if you're reading the whole policy, it pretty clear there. But then they wanted to for some reason really.
There's a little history on that. So there was a young lady down the street that she's no longer with us, but she didn't have the money to fix the line. It wasn't because it wasn't a contractor; it was going to take too long. It's like, I don't have the money, the town should do it because I don't have cash.
Right.
So the town was forced to go and fix this. And then we tried to bill her, and then it came back. It's like, well, she's poor. You can't bill her either. The town is not responsible for, and it sounds terrible, it's not responsible for these private lines. And at the end of the day, I believe what you said, it's not a problem. It's just, I'm sorry this happened to you, but bad things happen to good people.
Right. That means you can't go back and change your decision on this.
You take responsibility as a homeowner. You know, something breaks, you don't be like, oh, you're responsible for it, not me. I don't have
Right. And the thing that happened at the trailer park is it was such a substandard line that it kept breaking.
Right.
So we just multiplied our.
I know. And not, you know, if it ever comes down to it, we ever do add new connections. I know that the water department should be there, DPW should be there to kind of, with the contract, what are you using?
I think they are.
Supervise it and to make sure it's not used stuff going in or subpar, junk.
Just an anecdote I'll add. It is doable to be without water.
Okay.
Way back in the late 60s, we had a drought in Fairhaven. Our well went dry. I had 3 children in diapers before Pampers.
I remember those days.
This happened in February, and we were not able to get a well driller until December.
Wow. Oh my God.
I had 3 in diapers.
Okay, good discussion. Motion and a second.
I believe that the town does not need to be responsible for everything.
Any other discussion on the motion?
No.
Just one more point to this problem is we got to draw a line somewhere, and a curb stop obviously is the line.
Yeah.
Okay. If that water is not shut off and it leaks beyond that, we take a chance on polluting the rest of our folks.
Yep.
That's our public responsibility. It's part of our infrastructure. So we have to draw a line. We have to stick with it. And also, us going in there and fixing private lines takes away from private contractors' bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
That's my feeling.
Okay. Both our guys jobs.
That need to be done here in town.
Good.
Everybody understand what we're voting on? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Union and unanimous. Okay. Creation of a Fairhaven Housing Authority discussion.
Yeah, so this was, I've been mulling over the housing crisis in Vermont, and a couple of times, you know, we've talked about what Fairhaven could do to improve housing stock, increase housing stock. And I stumbled upon this when I was, you know, just kind of poking around. The VSA, Vermont statutes, say that each town has the authority to create its own housing authority. And these housing authorities, they're able to take on their own debt outside of the town, so the town doesn't have to take on debt. They have the authority to buy and sell property outside of what the town of Fairhaven does, so they're completely independent. They can borrow money. They can borrow money from the town. The town can loan them money, you know, for, you know, whatever the going interest rate is that the town would want to charge. So to me, sitting there reading through the statutes, I thought this seemed kind of like a win-win situation, both for the town and the town coffers, as well as the town in terms of its infrastructure. The town did want to loan money to an authority to gain money through interest, and then that authority now has cash to build homes. It seemed like an obvious fit for us. Some of the, and I'll talk very briefly about some of the concerns as well. Housing authorities deal with low-income housing, typically, and that's true. What I'm thinking, though, the way I kind of want to work this is, yes, low-income might be a part of this, but to get federal and state grant money to build some of that middle-income housing, you need to incorporate some low-income housing anyway. There's a big property here in town that they'd like to work with us to do just what I just said, to build some houses. And it seemed like the authority would be a good use of that. It seemed like it would work well to get a housing authority to work with a property owner, to work with the town, to kind of make this happen. All that said, I don't expect a lot of movement tonight, but I wanted to bring it up. I'm going to talk with the auditor this week. He says he works with a lot of housing authorities, and he's very excited about this kind of thing. He says this is what he really gets into, is a kind of out-of-box thinking. So,
right, so it brings revenue into the town. So we're talking about heartbeat, but that's peanuts compared to what potentially this could bring in for revenue.
That's correct.
And help grow Fairhaven at the same time.
It's a big, wild idea. I know there's some concern about how many people we could actually get on this board. I did talk to one young man that I think would be acceptable, and he said he'd be interested. There's another young lady I'd like to talk to, but that's my spiel for this.
But when you talk, to get more information, could you get some information around, you could do your own housing authority, which I can tell you when I read through the statutes and everything, I'm not there yet. I don't think we could get, we have trouble getting five people on a planning commission, and we need another group of five. Could we ask them about, I'm not against housing authority and what they do, but why wouldn't we take Castleton, get some of the surrounding towns, and we use the strength that's working together, and we do a group type of a housing They got to have similar. And I, my concerns were more of what's it going to cost, and can I get the right, can I get the volunteers and the qualified right type of volunteers? And I'm not that, not whether you can make money or not. I'm just going, folks, these people are volunteers, and right everywhere I look, volunteers are short, high demand and short supply.
I look at it a different way, and that I look at it as I'm not there yet either. And the reason I'm not there yet is it's another layer of bureaucracy. That we're right. The Planning Commission right now is putting together zoning, additional zoning regs for subdivisions, and we're trying to get a downtown designation, which is going to go a long way to put our star on the map in terms of having a place that's conducive to build. So it may be early for this, is what I'm saying, because one of the things about subdivision rules, it makes it very clear cut what a developer has to do to get a development going. And there are places in town that could stand that. We have the water, we have the sewer, we have all that stuff. It just needs to be, it needs to be advertised once we get all those things in order. And I'm not sure that sticking another board in the middle of that, because then you've got this board, you've got the Planning Commission, you've got the Select Board. So there's three different chunks of bureaucracy that people have to go through. So I'm not there yet, but you'll have to sell me.
Housing authority, though, would be, it wouldn't have to be that many people, two or three. Basically, they'd be
by statute.
Has to be five? Okay. Well, anyways, even at five, they would be the bridge between private and public. If they could do a lot of that planning and get a lot of that information and bring it to the housing and the Planning Commission, it may work well if you get the right people.
Well, that's it smells to me like something that was written for Burlington and, the larger towns that can, first of all, they have that kind of a population. There's architects and there's developers and there's stuff that would love to be in stuff like that. And I don't know that, like Glenn said, I don't know if we could find the people that we need that are expert enough.
Right. We could try.
True. You've got time, right? You got
There's nothing that says we couldn't try. We got to do something.
Except that we have to put this whole structure together.
I'm open for. I think this is a good opening discussion, but I'm also saying back home. If this was the silver bullet, this was the magic thing, why haven't I seen it? Where are the municipalities? I want the examples. I want to talk to the municipalities that are actually finding it successful. It's a lot like tax instrument financing. Some towns that have got it have done very good with it. Others have failed miserably and have to give the money back. I don't want to rush into something. And right now I'm feeling, I think we're trying to reach for something we don't have the ability to really wrestle down right now. Not that it isn't a good thing. I personally, I get more excited over Montpelier Passes. They're smaller municipal TIF grants, tax increment financing for housing. Then I get more excited over that than I do reading through the statutes.
There's no doubt that would help a lot.
When I'm reading through between that subdivision and the downtown designation you're talking about, those look like things that we can do. And I don't have to look too far, only a downtown designation. And get the larger batch of money to help people go. We may be, and I think you're spot on. I think it might be a little early. Keep finding out stuff. It can be in our toolbox. It doesn't mean we have to use it right now.
I think it could open up some opportunities around state funding. My only question, actually, I have a lot of questions. I need more information. But my biggest question right now is, how would we orient Fairhaven Housing Authority in the greater system? We've got the Rutland Housing Authority that also has properties nearby in town. Can we all play in the sandbox? Not to cause concern for other housing authorities.
I don't have an answer for that, but one of the things I thought was a benefit to this idea was that Rutland, that housing authority and other housing authorities, they could work in Fairhaven, and some of them do work in Fairhaven, but their goals aren't our goals. Their goals are really low income. That's what they're really focused on, and maintaining those. At least when I imagine this, there might be a component, but that's not the target is not low income housing. It's that middle income housing that really needs to be built. It's our goal. They don't share the same goals we do. Personal opinion.
Mm-hmm. More info required.
I'll get some.
Don't give up the cell because I'm not sure that it's. I'm not there yet.
For sure. This is something the bigger towns do. It's for sure.
Yeah. Well, they can afford to.
Yeah, we punch above our weight. I think if we get the right thing in place.
Right. I'm kind of sick of being overshadowed by Rutland and controlling everything in the county.
It's west of, it's east of Birdseye.
Right. It's
east of Birdseye. It's west of Birdseye, just plain doesn't get the thought process. And I don't know how to solve that problem, but because the main municipality is Rutland, and they suck the money dry, and Burlington's the same way. Those guys, or Chittenden County is in statewide is the same way as Rutland is to Western Rutland County, and they have the money. They can go and look for infrastructure projects because they can hire somebody that does that. We can't afford that. We keep going. I mean, I don't see us as something that nobody's saying no.
This is just the first kind of.
Yeah, more information.
All right. Well, let's move on then. And there is some info, right? You gave us that.
Yeah, okay. We've got the stats.
Yes. Choosing a new paper of record.
So the free press is no longer printing. They won't print anymore after the first of the year.
Yeah. My understanding, they have an online version, but they won't have a hard copy.
Yeah, which is, I think it's a state law, you got to have a hard copy.
Yeah, we got to have a paper of general circulation. So, yeah. We need to choose a new paper of record. So just by chance, Roy showed up today to talk about his paper.
Lakeside Hills is available. We have the official newspaper of Castleton, Lakeside News in the Rutland Sun.
You are?
Yes.
Well, and that's kosher. I was going to ask it. Because it's not. Yes, be the same.
I believe we were designated last cycle of town meeting. I believe I can't say for sure, but I think both Lakeside News and Rutland Herald are working. So I think the Senate still have. Adoption.
Are they comparable for what they charge, like Lakeside News charge versus Rutland here. What's the?
It would be a lot cheaper.
Be a lot.
And it's a free, and Leeds Bank News is that's a free paper.
It's free.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay me.
Yeah, and we go to, you said the greater distribution area, and we do go into Pulteney and around the city and Castleton, in addition to Fairhaven. We get rid of, we print 2,000 copies a week. And the outlets in Fairhaven are Shaw's and Liberty Street. I guess that's any other questions?
The only question I have is to make sure that it's okay. I mean, Castleton's doing it. I'm surprised. If Castleton's doing it, the state must be happy with it. I can promise you it's going to be less money than the
moment. Oh, okay, less money than the hair.
The statute, I went back and looked at the statute, and there was no, you know, how the state statutes are vague. Mm-hmm. And it's just a paper of general circulation. So it's like, it doesn't say mail to a house or a subscription of such a number. It's just, so it seems to fit the bill.
Yep. What's your pleasure, folks?
I know more people pay attention to his paper than to the Rutland Herald.
More people really? Pick it up.
Absolutely. There's a lot more of local sports. There's a lot more local everything than Rutland Herald would deign to put in their paper.
It's usually a bigger paper. Rutland Herald get pretty fat.
More substantial. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You were starting to say something. Right?
Yes, I was before that. That being said, I was already going to mention that. But my say is, let's go with this gentleman's paper here.
Is that a motion?
Yes, it is.
So I'll second that.
There's a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
We have a new paper. Thank you. Coming
Thank
in.
You. Thanks, Roy.
Thanks, Roy.
And it's the Lakeside News and Rutland Sun?
Just the Lakeside News and Rutland Sun. Yep.
Okay.
Roy, can you send me an email? So that way I have your contact.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to send you something about this ordinance.
Okay.
Final review of budget and revenues. Revenuers.
Right. It might be easier if we look it on a big screen. Is most did you get that last time?
Yes,
we did. Mostly the same.
Mostly the same. Change the 3 pages and 3.5.
3.57. Sound like my wife was on sale. It was $3. $3. $3.99. No, that's $4.
When we start conducting meetings upstairs, my only suggestion is install a TV where we don't have to turn around.
Right. wherever that TV is coming, it should be in the right.
I concur. Jed, my first year here, I put the tables on this way.
Yeah.
Oh, it turned out it was
a nightmare.
It was as big as possible. They're not that expensive. TVs have. It was about the only thing
that
I've gone down in price.
So, what do you want to share with what you did?
Yep. So, let me start with a piece of paper before I jump into that. So, you should have a piece of paper that looks like that.
That was confusing.
So, for us, our revenues have to balance to our expenditures. So, our revenues total up to $2,789,632.
Yep.
And that is exactly your expenses, right? $2,789,632.
I was thinking revenues, additional revenue. I wasn't thinking tax rate. Okay. All right. That makes more sense.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
So if we look at, I want to show your budget compare it to the revenues, and then the 030 budget, compare it to the revenues, and then we'll boil it all down into your.
Sure.
Okay, so if we're looking at this guy, we see our, this is your 010, your general fund budget, 1992,944. We jump over here to your revenues, which this is all on the paper copy as well. Mm-hmm. There. There's your revenues, 1992,994. That's my test that just subtracts the revenues from the expenditures, and there's no difference, so those are equal. Over to 030, this is highways budget.
Yeah.
Public works total is 796,688. We run here to look at this. Your revenues are 796,688, and then that's again the test. We subtracted the revenues from the expenditures, and there's no difference. So this is the selectman's budget right here, and that number is what your budget's 010 and 030 total. Mm-hmm. 2,789,632. Your increase was 3.75. For your operating budget. So if you look at your warning, the first article, the first sentence says it's to approve the select board's budget of, and that's 2,789,632. And that's the same number that we're looking at here on the screen, the 010 and the 030. So that's what we're asking the board to do.
So this is the number right here.
This number right here, 2 million.
But this is what's to be raised by taxes.
This is the total budget.
This is revenue.
That's to be raised by taxes, and that's revenue.
Right.
Yeah. So from the board tonight, I would need an approval of the budget, the select board budget of the 2,789,000, and then the approval of the revenues, which total 634,705, which is also on the name.
That's both 03 and 01.
Yes. That's 03.
I mean, that promotion, but was approved. The select board's budget of $2,789,632.
Repeat the number, please.
$2,789,632.
32. Okay.
I'll second that.
Do you want the, now that you got that all seconded, do you want the revenues listed in there as well? It would be nice to have them there.
Would you like to amend that?
To make that whole line.
Just read, just, no, article, just two. Article 2. Just,
yeah.
Just make that motion. I will make the motion to approve Article 2. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to approve the select board's budget of $2,789,632 minus $634,705 anticipated revenue, of which $2,154,927 is to be raised by taxes.
And I will second that.
Thank you.
Motion.
Everybody understand what we are doing? Any questions, comments?
No questions. So, anticipated revenue, what happens if we don't hit that threshold?
Well, so we have the unexpended funds in 010 and 030. They kind of, you know, the money that then rolls over budget to budget. That's supposed to be a buffer for that.
Yeah.
We try not to overexpend the budget ever to get into that, but there is that little cushion. And that's why the auditor doesn't like it when we touch that, because it's, you never know year to year what, how many dog licenses you're going to get or whatever.
The interesting part of that is,
We have rarely not collected that revenue. I can't think of a time when we ever did, to be honest with you. And when I started on there, we started with a assumption of $25,000 of unencumbered funds. So we're now at 100,000, you know. So
actually, as time goes on, we get better collecting.
Well, yeah, and you know, there are some of the reasons we had that $1 million surplus fund done was revenue. We never looked at the revenue. We just thought we were overspending. We never looked at the revenue. We were collecting far more revenues than we thought. And so it just kind of got rolled in. It was a surprise to everybody. It really was. It certainly was a surprise to me. I never even thought to even look there, to be honest with you. Who knew? Anyways, any other questions on that? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
As just kind of an aside to your revenues are actually up by 15% this year. So you've done a good job at investing with trying to save tax payment money.
Let's hope so. Keep up the good work. However.
Now the budget is up 3.75%.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I got it.
The budget has doubled since 1991.
Really? That's
about a number. Yeah. I mean, it's not a lot. Mm. Not a lot in 30 years. Okay. What else would you like?
I don't need anything necessarily from the board tonight, but the draft warning is in your packet. I want to point out I added another. I put another copy in your boxes earlier today.
Sleep Valley Care.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sleep Valley Care did get a petition to raise their number, and they're at 32,450. Thank you. 32,450.
It's only money.
I will make a cleaned up copy of this for the 16th. This one here is still kind of in that shape. But the articles are all there, and the numbers are correct.
Don't they have about more than just the citizens of Fairhaven?
Yeah.
Sleep Valley Cares.
Yes.
It just says to meet the needs of the citizens of the town of Fairhaven.
Yeah, it's always been that way. I mean, a lot of times people would come in destitute, broke down, and they'd get them.
So we still could have a couple more articles come in before the 16th?
I heard rumblings that there was at least one petition floating out there. But that's, yeah, there's something could come in.
16th, 5.
Yeah.
Yep. This Lake Valley Cares, there's other towns that donate to that also, I assume, or is that just for?
I honestly don't know that.
That's,
I would assume so.
If your question is, that's what we donate, and it covers more than Fairhaven. I don't know. Last time I asked a question, I wasn't comfortable that it was in other towns.
Interesting.
I wouldn't say yes, it is, or no, it isn't, but a year ago, when I asked the question, I don't believe it was. It was just Fairhaven. So I
would be surprised. I would be surprised if they don't, but I don't know.
I was surprised when I heard that we were more than Fairhaven and other towns didn't have.
Well, that's why they changed the name.
We always have been.
Okay.
Open to West Haven, yeah. And Benson anyway.
Yeah, but do they, the question was, do they,
I know, I don't
do
know.
They, were they paying anything? And the answer I got at that time was no, and they were going to go look at doing something. I don't know if they did. But that was over a year.
There's no question. That's a good question. Fair question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything anything in the parking lot. Tell you that we are moving along on the subdivision and the neighborhood designation. We will have another meeting in the third, whatever that is, the 20th, whatever that is, the third meeting. The
1 second.
Yeah, 22nd, Wednesday. We've got quite a bit, and with the help of the your board, whatever it's going to have
a new name. We have a new person who volunteered to become a member of that new board again. That I'll be coming back asking for appointment. Deb Iancona has volunteered, so we'll be coming back in another meeting.
Where so, what's going to be your new name?
What's our new name? We voted on the check. What was it now? The
Economic Development and Downtown Partnership.
Downtown Partnership.
Sounds exactly what the state will love.
Exactly. All of that.
Economic Development and Downtown Partnership.
And then we rewrite our bylaws, and there's a lot of work that will be coming back to this board.
We wanted to remain open to all buckets of funding.
And that's
Yep.
Good. Word round table.
The only thing that we probably ought to discuss in the future is with DPW. I would like to see a little quicker response on our sidewalks. And by doing that, I wonder if it would be beneficial to have one of our part-time summer help come in for just sidewalk plowing and get a handle on the sidewalks earlier in the snowstorms. Sidewalks are critical nowadays.
I agree. I hear from all my wife and other bus drivers when kids are walking in Carnarvon and Moore Street and stuff like that. I mean, not to overstep, but this town is, you primarily walk as your primary get around. When you have your student body and, first, second graders walking, they got to walk in the road. That's not a good thing. So
the thing is,
they didn't care about us.
No, but I know.
That's a different generation.
Yeah, they do.
But the thing is,
just make another one look
nowadays down. With the help the way it is, we have less help than we used to have. And they're manning the drives, the snow plows and the trucks, the loader. The sidewalks are the last resort. And they shouldn't be the last resort anymore. They should be up right on the front end with everything else. I mean, when the trucks start plowing, I do believe the sidewalk plow should be out also.
Right, so if we tap into the list of our summer help offer them, start most senior person. And
it's an easy thing to say, but if you don't budget it, you don't have the money.
Oh, I understand.
I'm just
throwing that out there as something I've seen.
We
could improve on it.
The other thing I would caution you about, and this did happen to the town of Perry, but if you give a certain amount of employment to a part-time person, the union comes back and says, "Well, that's full-time. You got it." So we literally had to hire a guy full-time who was part-time. And so you know, it's not that we don't need him, and it's not that it's a horrible thing.
That's something that can be worked out, though. I think.
Well, the union was pretty specific, and they buffaloed us right into that one. So it's one of those ones that I always remember because it burnt.
But point taken, because we might have some opportunities depending on where you don't need to worry about part-time, that you've got the off-date, the transfer station isn't open or whatever, or you got someone in the shop. It's almost. My only concern on getting out real early before people get the driveways plowed and everything is you might have to send them out another time because you'll have a foot of snow
in the middle on each side of the driveway, and they went through. Not everyone gets out with the shovel and cleans their sidewalk off again. So, but that's not that we can't work. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and keeping the kids out of the road is the most important. I get it. I just,
hey, you know, I will say it's. I think there was a snowstorm not last year, but the year before, where the sidewalks were fairly rough for days afterward. That's when I heard a lot of complaints. You know, my kids were walking in the street to school. Since then, though, I think we've been fairly responsive with the sidewalks. My kids tend to keep me up to date on how their travels down the road are. And, I think we've done pretty good. I get the concern though. Like we want them clear and walk. Absolutely.
Yeah. One thing, Boulder Road, where the road's caving in and it's been spray painted for God knows how long. Is there any plan to fill it in with stone anytime soon? Or
That project, along with a couple more, one being a catch basin that needs to be replaced up here, that's going to be on the agenda for spring, summer.
And one more thing. Did the transfer station get their cardboard dumpster straightened out? Casella's figure that out?
Oh, I'm guessing so. I haven't heard anything else about it.
What was the problem? I went to go get rid of some cardboard Thursday, and Casella's took the loaded dumpster and brought another loaded dumpster back. Oh, so I was told to take my truckload of cardboard back home.
Oh.
So I turned around and with a
that's not funny.
Truckload of cardboard for recycling that they had nowhere to.
You did. But we still had our baler. We could have just baled it.
Did we have a baler?
We did. We got rid of it because it was too much trouble.
Oh. You can make so much money if you bail your own.
I never would have believed that. Talk about revenue.
Yeah.
Was that problem right there?
No, I was told. Yeah, was, I was looking for it, and I was like,
heard about it.
Jim's like, take and bring it home. I was like, what?
Right.
You being sarcastic or
what? Yeah, that would cost you better being but they didn't tell me that.
Sure.
Anything else? Website. Wondering if the board would be okay with the EDC looking for a new website, let's say provider, but website keep, if you will. My understanding is that we have one down in Florida. We're kind of managing it on our own at this point. Not sure what the market is and what's out there and available, but
I bet you Cedar could tell.
The EDC is interested in just gathering more information.
Right, not much money. And anything from an administrator would love, even if you could get a student to do it as part of the credits and everything. Trying to look to get some help.
I didn't get that. Now you're looking to for a new website
and administrator.
Okay.
A
new website.
Oh no.
Well,
so to help with maintenance.
There's nobody keeping it up.
Maintenance.
Never mind. I got it.
Yeah. But we can do some things.
She says she's got it.
Oh, sure. What?
I'm good.
I am as well.
Okay, you're ready for the financials? We're going to be doing two different weeks. I'll do right. December 1st. Is that okay? So I'll do the 12/24 payroll.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to pay $36,316.04.
I make a motion to second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
for the war, for 12/12/24, I'll make a motion to pay $597.
No.
Is that the wrong one? Is that, do I got the wrong one?
Yeah.
That's a 750 one.
Yeah.
750/220. The 597 is the school payment.
Oh, so that, what's the amount?
750.
$750,220.67.
I'll make a motion to pay the warrant, general warrant of $750,220.67.
Yes.
Thank you.
Second. All those in favor?
Right. Okay, now we'll go back to the payroll for 1/7/24. I'll make a motion to pay the payroll of $33,486.40.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
The general warrant for 1/7/24. Double check this number again. I'll make a motion to pay $68,128.99. That was
second. Market. Second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye. And the checkbook status.
Oh, wait a minute.
Checkbook status deleted. Deleted.
Okay.
Is 1,830,019.62.
I'm going to talk to the accountant tomorrow and see where that number came from. I don't doubt her, but it seems high.
It seems high.
Thank you.
Is that before or after the warrant that we just?
I'm guessing it must be before.
I don't think.
Normally it's after, but maybe because of two warrants, something.
The holiday.
Yeah. Yeah.
They put them in.
Okay. If there's going to be a hell of a spending
committee, I got my list.
Are you looking for a motion to go into executive session?
I am.
Make a motion to go into executive session for a labor negotiation under 1 VSA 313A1.
Very second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? We will be in.